Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
When you're 32 and 16, life is good. And if you're a Twins fan, right now you're living right. Welcome to Final Pitch here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Twins victorious again, 8-3 over the LA Angels. We'll take your phone calls here at 651-989-9226. I know it's late night for a Final Pitch, but nonetheless, all you do is win. It's fun talking about victories, and that's what we want to do again tonight. 651-989-9226, that's the phone number for you to call and weigh in on tonight's Twins game. And there was plenty to like at the end of the game, okay, because the offense came through when you needed them the most. After being held scoreless through the first five innings, the Twins' bats came alive in the sixth inning as they were able to tie the game after trailing 3-0 until that point. And this was one of those nights, I think, that if you're a Twins fan and you're watching this team over the course of the early portion of the season, where you look and you will say to yourself, never count the team out. Even when it looks like the bats aren't alive, you're gonna struggle somewhat against whatever the given pitcher is that night, that you don't let up, that you don't give in, that this particular Twins team is going to try to grind it out. And when you have the type of firepower and the type of offenses that I guess we could describe it as explosive, where they can just go out there and you can have guys mash and mash and mash for a couple of innings, and then all of a sudden you're right back in a ball game. That means that you never quit. That means that you can sit there and you can say, nah, things aren't looking good. We're trailing 3-0. But then when you go back and think about nights like tonight, that's when you feel optimistic about everything going on with the Minnesota Twins. Before we even get to the rally, okay, for the Minnesota Twins late, let's talk about the starting pitching. I do want to get to that, because there is a sentiment that I'm feeling from Twins fans. And if you are one of them out there that has a sentiment in regards to Michael Pineda not being a guy that you want to see in that starting rotation, I would like to hear from you at 651-989-9226, because I disagree with you. I think that we need to figure out as Twins fans, what are the expectations that we have for Pineda? Now, look, this is a guy that's coming off of Tommy John surgery. I'm not going to look at Michael Pineda and expect him to be one of your top three or four starters for the most part at the end of the year. To me, right now, what you're trying to do is give him an opportunity to go out there and prove to everybody that he can be one of your top four starters. Now, we'll see how things play out. But right now, the number one thing that we need from Michael Pineda is not for him to be a guy that we expect is going to go out and be dominant, because that's not who he is. What I expect out of Michael Pineda is a guy that's going to go out there and he is going to do his best. It's not going to always happen, but do his best to eat up innings. That's what you need from him. Because we have stated that there are question marks with the bullpen. And you don't know who you can trust and who you look at and say, I'm not feeling this guy on this specific night. What you need is a guy like Pineda to go out there and give you five or six innings a night. And I'm not saying that every time he goes out there, he's got to give you a quality start every single time. But we need to figure out, as Twins fans and as individuals that observe this ball club every single day, what are your expectations for Pineda? I'd love to get your thoughts on that at 651-989-9226. And I think that we'll get more into it on Thursday evening when we have a full show between 9 and 1 a.m. But Pineda, I thought that he was fine tonight. Now, early on in the game, it was a little bit rough, right? We can all agree it was a little bit rough. And when you're facing Mike Trout, of course, Mike Trout, who's the best player in Major League Baseball, he's been known to hit a home run or two, and he did that in the first inning to give them an early lead. Then in inning number two, Pineda struggled some more and gave up a couple of runs. But then after that second inning, realistically, he settled down, and he was fine. You heard it from Rocco, and you'll probably hear it again from Rocco here before we're done here on Final Pitch tonight, that he settled in, he got comfortable, and he worked his way through the rest of that ball game after that second inning for the remaining four innings that he pitched and didn't give up another run. And that was key. And then the offense, that lineup had his back. When you were struggling to put runs on the board for the first five innings in the sixth inning, it was just like, it was like just lightning the way that the Twins offense struck. Polanco, he doubles. Actually it started with Kepler doubling. Then it was followed by Jorge Polanco doubling to score him. And then Polanco ends up getting home, and he doesn't have to rush home because Marwin Gonzalez homered to right. And we have a tie ball game at that point. That was your sixth inning. That was what gave everybody the feels in regards to knowing that this team was going to rise up and compete and challenge the Angels with tonight's ball game. But then in the seventh inning, what do? You say, we're not done yet. We are not done yet. Because you were able to not only put one run on the board, you put two, you put three, you put four runs on the board in the seventh to really break this game open. And one of the other things that I would like for somebody to call about, if you have a thought or opinion on it, other than Michael Pineda, is what did you think of the situation there where Jorge Polanco's on third base, right? Because they put together, what was it, four consecutive hits with two outs to score four runs, okay, in that seventh inning. And you have a situation where Marwin Gonzalez is on first base. And you have Polanco on third. This was after, this was when you had Rosario up at the plate, okay? And you're already in the lead 5-3 at that point. You'd already put a couple of runs on the board. So there's two outs. Rosario's at the plate. And Jorge Polanco is, what's the best? I guess when it comes to how many feet he was off of third, he was off of third at one point. I want to say it was like 40 feet. He was like 40 feet away from third base towards home plate. And in the post game, he was talking about he was thinking about trying to steal home. But you could tell in that particular scenario that the pitcher at the moment for the Angels, Bard, he was frustrated. He was agitated, and he was paying a lot of attention to not the guy that's in the batter's box. Okay? Not Eddie Rosario. Because you got two outs there. Pay attention to the batter. He was paying attention to Jorge Polanco because of the lead that he was taking because they had a shift on. And to me, I loved it from Polanco. It was entertaining for all of us because he's dancing around, he's having a little fun or whatever. And the Angels were not amused by it. You could tell that Lecroy, he was not amused by it, the catcher, nor the pitcher. And there was a point where the pitcher ran him back to third base. He was never going to tag him out, right? But that is what happens when you have a shift. You're going to have situations like that. I was amused by it. I had no issue with it. I didn't think that he was mocking the Angels at all. I never really felt that way. And he even said post-game that he was strongly thinking about trying to steal home plate.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic baseball talker for those of us who love the game because things are changing with the shift. And that's what it all started with, is that the third baseman is playing, 20 feet from second base, and the whole left side of the infield is wide open, which creates a scenario that we're not used to seeing. You know, sure, when there's bases loaded or something and they're out of a stretch, you see a player take a long lead, but they were showing that lead. He was more than halfway a few times to home plate, and there's no way to stop him because, you know, he can beat the catcher or the pitcher back in a foot race, and there's literally nobody anywhere near third base. So it creates this situation that is largely unknown, and I think that's why it's so fascinating because, like, what happens if he does try to steal? And when would be the time for Polanco to steal? Do you steal when the pitcher's not looking? Do you steal when the catcher throws the ball back? How far of a secondary lead can you get? I think all of those are fair questions, and it's a situation we're not used to seeing, and it's because of the shift, and I think it's fascinating. And the Angels now have to look and say, if a situation like this comes up again, are we going to stick with the shift, or are we going to send our third baseman closer to the bag to avoid that?
See, I think that, and this is a very, I'm glad you brought that up, this is a very interesting conversation, 651-989-9226, because when it comes to the shift, I think that legitimately really good players that can bunt to get on, they need to start taking more advantage of that. I'm dead serious. The shift, I don't know what your thoughts are on the shift. The shift can be frustrating at times, and you just got to go out there and try to beat it any way that you can, okay? Because if you're able to beat it a few times, then you know what happens? The opposing team, they stop. Yeah. They stop trying to do that to put you in the box.
Yeah, and to be fair, the Angels beat the Twins shift like five times in one game last week, so it goes both ways. But yeah, you know, that's another good point is that Rosario's up at the plate. He could have laid down a bunt to third base, a two-run scoring bunt potentially to third base. And, you know, I don't know if that's something they talked about or considered, and, you know, maybe not in a game that's a four-run game. But if Rosario can lay down a bunt, there is nobody anywhere close to third base.
Yeah, there were some interesting things that went on tonight that we're talking about now that were just extremely interesting. And we haven't even talked about Luis Arise.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal tonight. And what did we hear when he was first called up and brought up with this team? What did people say? This guy can flat out hit.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to get on base. We talked about it last night. He knows how to hit and get on base.
Yeah. And he's playing in such a way that it's hard for the Twins to send him back down. I mean, I think, you know, maybe the initial plan was for him to be here for a few days or a week or a few series, but how do you send a guy down who's playing so well?
I know. This is so interesting. And who is the individual that is affected the most when it comes to playing time with the way that he's playing right now? You know, is it Adrianza? I mean, who's affected the most with all of this? 651-989-9226. Who was affected the most by all of this? This team right now, they have got it going on. And the scary thing about the Twins, I think for all the other teams out there in Major League Baseball, this is the scary thing about it, is that they're showing how much depth they have. That's the scary part. Because typically you don't find, you'll find at times some Major League Baseball teams that have some depth, but typically you'll have some drop-off, right, with most teams. Right now, you're not seeing the drop-off with the Twins. That's the scary part about it. I know that Garver is out right now, but we know he was mashing. Castro, he does his thing, right? It just seems like we talk about plug-and-play in a lot of different sports. You put a guy in there, and you just, oh, okay, next man up. Well, honestly, right now, the next man up is working for the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, and the situation with Arise where he's come up and played three or four games now and he's making it very hard for the Twins to send him back down, that's, you know, he's a much different player, but it's similar to what Astudillo did last year. Now, that was late in the season when the Twins were already out of the race at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're seeing a similar situation with another player where, you know, what do you do with him? Where does he go? And we saw that with Astudillo, who created a place for himself on this team, and now I think we're seeing a similar situation.
651-989-9226. Let's take a phone call from Denny in Prior Lake. What's up, Denny?
Yeah, Well, here's my thinking. Because we are so deep, why don't we trade Shoup and maybe a draft pick or two to San Francisco and get Murata, their reliever?
Wait. It's trade who? Who was the name you said trade?
Shoup for Murata.
Oh, Scope. Maybe, you're talking about Jonathan Scope. Jonathan Scope you're talking about.
Yeah.
Jonathan Scope.
He's only on a one-year contract. And we could get a lot of value for right now. We can stick in Riz at second base.
All right. Thanks for the phone call from Denny and Pryor. Like, I just, at this point, I don't know what the value would be for Denny and Pryor. I mean, for Jonathan Scope. What type of value? He doesn't have that type of trade value.
Yeah, I
just don't see that.
Yeah.
Especially for a good arm in the bullpen. I don't see Scope having that type of value.
I don't either. I like where Denny's going with the fact that right now we
have too.
An embarrassment of riches.
I agree with them.
Offensively.
Yes.
And there may be a time in the season where we think about dealing somebody to get either a bullpen arm or a starting pitcher. I think he's maybe 6 weeks early on that conversation.
I'm not knocking Denny in terms of the question. I like the question. I like the thought process of flipping, when we're talking about depth, flipping somebody for somebody else, right? To improve your ball club. But this is the problem, though. And Denny mentioned it. He said we've got a rental, right? Right? So we're going to trade a rental to a team that isn't going anywhere? Like, they're not taking Jonathan Scope, and they're not going anywhere and giving up a good arm. Like, why would they want Jonathan Scope on a rental? Like, he can go anywhere at the end of the year. That's what I'm saying. There's no value to trading him to the Giants for anything in their eyes.
Yeah, and that's why I say you'd have to wait a month or more and find a team that has an extra arm in their bullpen but really needs a bat, and then maybe you can find a deal that's a win-win for both.
Yep, no question about it. All right, 651-989-9226. That's the number for Final Pitch here on News Talk 830 WCCO. We'll continue to take your phone calls and continue to talk Twins baseball and the winning that surrounds it. That coming up next here on CCO.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right, welcome back to Final Pitch. 651-989-9226. I know about a month ago, Twins fans were a little bit reluctant to hop on the bandwagon. I'll take a little bit of credit for starting the bandwagon. But they're a little bit reluctant. I feel like the people are there. I feel like the people believe now. And I'm not saying that more Twins fans believe because the national media is starting to talk about the Twins and giving them props. I just think that right now, Twins fans have looked at how good this team has been. And we can look at the sample size of 48 games, and you say, yeah, I'm buying in how good this team is because the pitching's been good enough, and you've had some guys that have really done well from a starting pitching situation, whether it's been Barrios, whether it's been Odorizzi, also Martin Perez, occasionally Gibson. I know that Michael Pineda's been up and down. But you've seen enough for the starting rotation to have some faith in them. But ultimately, this offense has been stout. They have been on top of their game. They are putting runs on the board, and they are mashing. They are mashing. This team continues to hit the ball out of the park. You've even got Arise hitting a home run in the eighth inning, which you'll hear more about here in the final segment of the show tonight. But the Twins win 8-3. Love to hear from you, 651-989-9226. But one of the things that we have to continue to love about this team is that you're never out of a ball game. And when I mean never out of a ball game, I truly do mean that. It doesn't matter how late in the ball game, okay? This offense has exhibited that they can put runs on the board quickly. Quickly. Because in that top of the sixth inning, as you're trailing 3-0, Max Kepler, he gets it going, right? with a double. Then they say, well, okay, Kepler, he's getting the rally going. Jorge Polanco, who's been arguably your best player this season, he says, it's time to get some runs on the board. He doubles to right.
There's a line down the right field line, and that ball is going to go just fair, right on the chalk line. Polanco chugging into second base, so back-to-back doubles, and the Twins are on the board now, trail 3-1.
All right, so now you're finally on the board. You're starting to get some momentum. You're feeling good about yourself because you know what? You know you got a great offense. A guy that for the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season was on the struggle bus, not doing well at the plate. You know, had a couple, you know, clutch hits here and there. But overall struggled the first part. But the last 2.5, 3 weeks, Marwin Gonzalez is starting to find himself at the plate, and he said he wanted in on the party.
And Gonzalez hits it high in the air down the right field line, and if it's fair, it's gone, and it is gone. A two-run homer like that, and the Twins have tied it up 3-3.
And I feel good for Marwin, and I'll tell you why. Because Marwin Gonzalez has been a class act and a stand-up guy. When he was struggling and has been struggling during the course of the season, do you think that he's one of those individuals? I've been in clubhouses. There are some clubhouses and some players that when they're down in the dumps, when their batting average is not good, what do? You don't find them at the end of ball games. When the media is looking around to try to get those couple of quotes or sound bites in a chat with a particular player, sometimes they bolt quickly. He's not been that guy. He has been a class act. He's standing there and he's answering the questions, that he's being transparent, and he's talking about his struggles. And he also talks about, you know, he doesn't change. He's talking when he's doing well and he's talking when he's struggling. And I give him props for that. But he's starting to really look the part of the guy that you wanted to have come here and contribute to this organization. So I got to give him props for that.
And don't forget, Gonzalez also had the RBI ground rule double later in the seventh.
Yes, he did. He did.
Three RBI on the night.
He contributed every step of the way in the rally. And, it, you know, that actually hurt the team. Did you notice that? Now, in the long run, they ended up getting the runs on the board. But on that particular play, if it's not a ground rule double, then on that particular play, Polanco scores easily.
Well, yeah.
But he had to go back to third.
Well, it was two outs. He was running with the pitch. So, yeah, very easily would have scored.
He easily would have scored. He actually touched home plate, but they sent him back to third base because they said it's a ground rule double.
Yeah. Yeah. By rule. Yeah.
Yep. So that was really, really interesting to watch. And that was fun to watch. But yes, this team, this offense, they can put runs on the board really quickly. All right, we'll take a quick break, come back with our All-State play of the game, as well as hear from Rocco Baldelli here. Twins win 8-3 over the Angels. It's a final pitch here on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, final segment here, a final pitch on News Talk 830 WCCO. Twins, who's stopping us right now? The Angels aren't. 8-3, that was the victory. That was a margin. That was a score tonight. 8-3 over the LA Angels. Back in action tomorrow evening. An hour earlier, though. Okay? I know that the games have been starting at 9:07, but tomorrow they start, well, technically late tonight, now that we're into Wednesday, 8:07 right here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, let's take a quick phone call from the dude in Isanti.
What's going on? H to the Henry, L to the Lizzie.
What's going on, what's up, the buddy? Dude?
Nothing, man. Hey, I got to change my handle a little bit, you know. Instead of from Isani, I got to say I'm really from Athens Township, but no one really knows where that is, just south of Isani, about 4 miles. So usually I just say Isani, but it's Athens Township.
All right, man. You got to claim where you're from, man. Claim where you're from.
Right. Well, I was just going to say now, you know, with on the pitching, you know, with Pineda.
Yep.
I hope I didn't butcher that name. But
no,
like,
you got it.
Dude, I'm tired. Like, I know what you're saying, people that eat up the innings and stuff, but I'm just worried, like, come playoff time when we're with the Yankees or someone else that.
No, dude. I don't want to get crushed. The dude, you're thinking way too hard about this. Michael Pineda is not a guy that you're going to see in the postseason facing the Yankees. Now, look, if that was a scenario, yes, I would be biting my fingernails off. But no one in their right mind is going to trot him out there in a postseason run like that. Right now, this is a guy, to me, in my opinion, what you need from him is for him to be effective and eat up innings right now during the course of the regular season.
Just to get us there then?
Yep.
Right. Yep. Okay, I got you there then. So that shoots me down there. But, you know, I just get nervous about that.
No, I'm with you. I think it's a concern, no question.
Right. And then, you know, I'm all down for the aggressive base running too, dude. Like you said, you got to beat those shifts. And I don't care, man. Like, if it gets that pitcher watching him, getting him a little nervous on third, man, he's going to throw a bad pitch, maybe something over the plate.
Yeah, throw something in the dirt.
You know?
Yep.
Or right, you know, or let him go home, dude, right.
Yep.
And then Arias, we got to mention, though, dude, like, he is really good, and he can hit the ball. Like, I don't know. We got to maybe a nickname, A-Zing or something, dude, because he just zings the ball all over the place. We got to come up with something. Dude.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. Thanks for the phone call, the dude. We're short on time. But he's right. What is going to be the nickname? Because I know with the Yankees, you know what they do with Aaron Judge? You know how the Yankees, they say, all rise?
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, man. How do we go about getting a nickname for him? Maybe we'll come up with something this Thursday night.
Yeah, I think we'll have to
come up with a contest or something like that. Yeah. No question about it. All right, before we go any further, let's get to the Good Hands play of the game for tonight.
And the 3-2 pitch, a swing and a fly ball into right and deep. Calhoun going back, watching, turning, it's gone. Luis Arias with his first big league home run. This kid is doing everything. Two on, two out, bottom nine, and the 1-2 pitch bounce to third. Arias, a diving stop, pops to his feet, long throw, got him, ball game over. Luis Arias homered earlier, now makes a game-ending diving play to his right, and the Twins win 8-3.
It was about Arias tonight, and that's the Good Hands play of the game brought to you by Allstate. Are you in good hands? And I think that we are with that very young player here for the Minnesota Twins. All right, let's hear from Rocco Baldelli over the course of the next just couple of minutes that we have left here in the show. This was Rocco on the game this evening.
First of all, I think Cahill threw the ball well, and you know, he kept it soft, and he mixed his pitches well, made good pitches against us. But our guys just continued to you know, see some pitches, try to put some good swings on the ball. But eventually, we got to the middle of the game, and were able to you know, kind of settle in and, you know, start driving the ball around the ballpark a little bit. But the at-bats were good, and, you know, there was a lot going on, especially in that big inning for us. There was just a lot happening, but our guys were able to stay focused and, again, put some good swings in the ball and make something happen.
All right, the dude was just talking about Michael Pineda. This was Rocco on Pineda.
I was really impressed with the way he settled in, and, you know, he was working very, very efficiently. He made a lot of good pitches. He got a lot of, you know, contact kind of early in the count. You know, again, I think early in the game he, you know, battled himself maybe a little bit. But the fact that he's able to settle in and get us into the middle innings and not throw too many pitches, I thought it was a pretty impressive outing. And I think he gained the feel of his secondary stuff in a good way as the game went on.
All right, and the final one, Rocco, on what to do with Luis Arise.
I mean, Louis couldn't be playing any better or helping us any more or having any more of a positive effect on our team than he is. I think we're gonna ride this out, and I'm sure we'll see him out there and getting some more at-bats at some point while he's here. And I think he's certainly proving himself in a lot of very, very impressive ways.
That's awesome. I mean, right now, it seems like you've said so many awesome things about the Minnesota Twins and what we've watched here at the start of the year, but they just continue to impress day in and day out. No question about that. All right, the team is back in action tomorrow night facing L.A. and trying to get the sweep tomorrow night. So looking forward to what's going to go down tomorrow evening when it comes to Twins baseball. But be listening right here on Newstalk 830 WCCO.